read a story where the devil was having a garage sale, and he was putting on sale some of the tools that he had used, and he had many different tools, different shapes and sizes, and they all looked kind of valuable, and they were all priced pretty cheap, except for one plain, simple wedge-looking object, and it had a little sign on it, not for sale. And somebody went up to him and said, you know, we see all this stuff you're selling. Why aren't you selling that tool that looks old, well-used, well-worn, and is simpler than all the rest of them? And he said, well, I'm not selling that one because that's the most valuable one that I have. It's called discouragement. And when I drive it into people's hearts, once there and once it takes root, I can put anything else I want into them once I get them discouraged. That's why our text verse says tonight, and let us not be weary in well-doing. In other words, don't get discouraged, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, that's the subject and the title of my message tonight. I want to preach on the subject, faint not, faint not. The word faint is translated from several different Greek and Hebrew words. It has various meanings. I mean, it could mean to work to the point of intense weakness. You just work, 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 and you just get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. It also means to wrap oneself in self-pity. You get discouraged that way. It means to cave in. It means to quit. It means to relax in war. It's caused by different things: emotional or spiritual distress, physical exhaustion, responding to how God deals with us in the wrong way, or just weakness that results from fighting a long, long a battle. But Paul's instruction to faint not is directed to every single person, because every single person can catch this malady. None of us are immune to it. None of us are so strong a Christian, or true a Christian, or however you want to say it, that Satan can't drive this wedge of discouragement into our hearts and get us discouraged. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I mean, Paul tells us here not to faint, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he gives us four things that he did that we could do also to keep us from fainting. And I would point out to you, if anybody had a right in the New Testament to faint, it was probably the Apostle Paul. We had a lesson about him in primary class this morning, where we talked about him getting saved on the road to Damascus, going into Damascus, and Ananias coming and laying his hand on his eyes and being cured from the blindness that God struck him with when he called him on the road to Damascus. And you that know that story from the book of Acts, know his story from the book of Acts, know that in Damascus he started preaching that Christ was the Savior. Christ was the one that, when he died on the cross, paid for our sins. And the religious leaders who Saul was representing on his way to Damascus to arrest Christians and put them in prison and to kill them, they got upset that this one who was on their side was now on the other side and was preaching Christ. They got so upset they wanted to kill him. And Saul and the Christians found out about it, and they had to let him down over the wall in a basket so that he could escape the city. Now, that was just the start of his Christianity. It got better from there. I mean, you go and you read the book of Acts, every place Saul or Paul went, I mean, he caused a ruckus. People didn't like him. They said things about him that weren't true. Every place that he went, it seems like he had some kind of trouble. And if there was anybody in the New Testament that had the right to faint, it was the Apostle Paul. And yet he wrote in the book of 2 Timothy, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith, I've fought a good fight. And when he said it, he was saying the truth. I mean, he finished what God wanted him to do, and he kept the faith. If we could, and when we get to heaven, maybe we'll get down and sit down and ask him. He said, Paul, did you ever get discouraged? And he said, yeah, I did, but I didn't faint. Paul, did you ever get tired? Yes, I did, but I never stopped. Paul, did you ever come in a point in your Christian life where you wanted to quit? And Paul would, I think, truthfully say, many, many times. But he said, I didn't. And I think we can look at the four things that he mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that helped him, that will help us as well. So here we go. Number one, Paul kept his eyes on the ministry that God had called him to. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." He says, here's the first reason I don't faint. First of all, I've received the mercy of God, and not only did I get the mercy of God, he's called me to a ministry. Paul received, just like all of us that are Christians tonight, the mercy of God. Paul, or Saul, when he was a sinner, before he got saved, he was a sinner. In fact, he wrote in the book of 1 Timothy, he said, you put all the sinners together, put them all in the same room, and you pick out the worst one, you'll pick me. He said, I am the chiefest of sinners. If anybody deserves to be at the top of the list of sinners, it is me. And of course, we know his background. He tells us, he said, I was the one that persecuted Christians. I was the one that went into their homes and hauled them out and put them in prison. I was the one that took them before the ruling councils and found them guilty and sentenced them to death and put them in jail and messed up their families, messed up their life. I'm the one that did that. And yet God showed me mercy. He saved me, and I don't think Paul ever got over it, just like we ought never to get over it. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And when we forget that we, like Paul, we're a sinner headed for hell, and God did not give us what we deserved, but gave us something we didn't deserve. He showed us mercy and grace and saved us. And Paul says, I'm not going to faint because I was a recipient of the mercy of God. But not only that, he gave me a job to do. He gave me a ministry that he called me to. I got to go around the then known world and I got to tell people about Jesus. I got to tell him about how I got saved. You read in the book of Acts, I think three different times, or twice after he got to, as we read it in verse, or chapter 9, twice after that, and I think it was just the tip of the iceberg. Twice after that, Paul recounted before kings and before others his experience on the road to Damascus. He told people how he got saved and said, you want the same thing, just do the same thing that I did. We talked about it this morning. Paul, a voice from heaven as he saw that light. Saul, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And Saul said, who art thou, Lord? I am the Lord Jesus Christ, whom thou persecutest. And Paul asked the question, what do you want me to do? And God, Jesus said, you go into Damascus and I'll tell you what to do. And he got called to go tell people about Jesus. And I think when he kept the mercy of God in his heart and his mind, and when he realized that he was called to go out and tell people about Jesus, he said, I'm going to get tired, but I'm not going to quit. I'm going to get discouraged at times, but I'm not going to faint. There's going to be times when I just want to throw in the towel, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to become all things to all men so that by all means I can save some. And I think Paul would say, "If as long as I have breath in my lungs and strength in my body, I am going to give myself to win men and women and boys and girls to Jesus Christ." I think he would say, if I could, nobody on my watch is going to go to hell. I'm going to get them all. And if we, again, would come back and realize the great mercy that God showed to us when he saved us. Now you listen to me. We can all say the same thing that Paul did. I am the chiefest of sinners. I did not deserve the love that God showed for me on Calvary. I should be in hell. But thank God he showed his mercy to me and he showed his mercy to you. And tonight, most of us tonight, one day we're gonna split the sky and we're gonna go to heaven and we're gonna see our Savior face to face because of the mercy he showed to us. And he's called us to a ministry. He's called us to do the same thing that Saul or Paul was called to do. And that's to tell men and women and boys and girls, everybody we meet, that there's a God in heaven that loves them. As Angie sang about a moment ago, he loves them and sent his son to die on the cross to pay the price for their sins. And if they come, if you're here tonight and you've never come to Jesus Christ, you come tonight based on the promises that are in this book. You can have a home in heaven. Your sins can be forgiven. You can be right with your God. I'm not going to faint because he showed me great mercy. I'm not going to faint because he called me to a ministry. And he's done the same thing to each of you that are here tonight and know Jesus as your Savior. Number two, not only did he have the great mercy of God and was called to a ministry, he realized that it wasn't him that was doing it in the first place. It was God working through him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." He says, what I do, I don't do in my own power. If I tried to do it in my own power, I would faint. If I tried to do it with my own strength, I would quit. He said, "I'm just an earthen vessel. I'm made out of clay just like everybody else." And a vessel made out of clay will get tired, will get discouraged, will want to quit. But Paul said, "It is not me that's doing it. It is being done by the power of God." If to use modern day analogies, he would say, "Look, I'm the car. Jesus is the gas. I'm the train. Jesus is the coal. I'm the plane. Jesus is the jet fuel. It is not me that is doing it. It is God doing it through me, and God's power will never run out." Sometimes we've got to get our gas tanks filled up because they get close to the E, and if you don't fill them up, you know, your car starts to sputter, and it'll eventually stop. And in the same way, if we don't get the power of God in our life, I guarantee you we will faint. We will get tired. We will quit. We will want to throw in the towel. But if we keep the power of God flowing through us, we can say like Paul, "I'm not going to faint. I'm not going to quit because it's the power of God that's powering me." Paul had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was. Some people think it was his eyesight. Some people think it was epilepsy. I don't know what it was. But Paul said, "I went to God three times." He said, "Three times I begged God to take that thorn in the flesh away from me. I told him and I argued with him and I reasoned with him. I could be a better preacher. I could be a better teacher. I could be a better missionary. I could be a better church builder if you just get this condition out of my life. Just fix it up." And God came back to Paul all three times and said, "No, no, no. You're going to keep that thorn in the flesh because I want you to remember it is not you, it is me." And that's when Paul said, "Therefore, I will glory in my infirmity. I will glory in my weakness. Because it reminds me every moment of my life, it is not me, it is God." God's power will never run out. Never. Never, never, never. He has an abundant supply. As people tell us, "We only got so much oil, we only got so much gas." I want to tell you something, God's power is unlimited. Can't be measured. It will never be exhausted. And he will always, as I've told you many, many times before, he will always give us what we need to do what he's called us to do. Number three, Paul didn't faint because he realized that when trouble and heartache came, it was not because God didn't love him. It was because God was trying to make him more like Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11, "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. The life of Jesus might be seen in our mortal flesh, in our bodies, in our lives. God loves us. More than anything else, He wants us, He wants our fellowship. That's why He made us, so that we could be with Him. The more we are like Jesus, the greater our fellowship will be. Huh? The more we are like Him. In verse 15 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Bible says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." We talked about it this morning. We have a lot of folks that are going through some heartaches. We have a lot of folks that are going through some hard times. Sometimes we can see what God's trying to do in our life. Most of the time we can't. Sometimes we have a glimmer of understanding of why things come into our life. Most of the time we don't. Paul, as I mentioned, his life was full of trouble. I mean, he was shipwrecked. He was stoned. He was beaten. He was thrown out of cities. He was lied about. And yet, Paul said, "I know all this is not happening because God doesn't love me. It's happening because God's trying to make me more like Jesus. He's trying to make me more like Him." Jesus said, "They hated me." He said this to His disciples, and it was true of Paul, just like it's true of all of us. "The world hated me. It's going to hate you. The world persecuted me. It's going to persecute you. But listen, when that persecution comes, it's not because I quit loving you. When those troubles come, it's not because I quit loving you. It's because I'm sending things into your life because I want you to be more like my Son. I want you to be more like Jesus." One of the things that spoke to my heart Friday night when Wanda and I talked, she said, "You know, it just seems I'm spending all day in prayer." She said, "Sometimes, you know, I know I'm praying, and sometimes I think I'm just talking to God. It just seems like I'm doing it all day." And I said, "Wanda, that's what that verse over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 means when it says, 'Pray without ceasing.'" I said, "I think God's not enjoying what you're going through, but He's enjoying the time you're spending with Him. He's enjoying the time that you're coming and asking and begging and pleading and crying. He's enjoying that time. And you know what? If that's what it takes to get us closer to God, if that's what it takes to make us depend more on Him, if that's what it takes for our faith to grow," and I don't say this lightly. I know Teresa used to sing a song, "Whatever It Takes to Draw Me Closer to You," and I would sit over here and say, "Boy, I don't know if I could sing that. I really don't." I mean, it says, "Take my treasures and my wealth and the dearest thing to me. Take it if that's what it takes to draw me closer to you." And she would sing it, and I'd sit over there and say, "Man, I don't know. I wonder if she realizes what she's singing. I wonder if she really means what she's singing." I said, "I don't know if I could sing that song. But you know what? If that's what it takes, then bring it on. Bring it on. Because the trouble we go through down here is going to last about this much compared to eternity." Compared to eternity. And if that's what it takes to get me closer to God, then God, You do it. You do it. And again, we have people going through some heartaches. I mean, serious stuff with their kids, with their grandkids, with their families. And that, you know what it tells me? It tells me God's working. God's working. So he realized that when trouble and heartaches came, it wasn't because God didn't love him. It's because God was trying to make him more like Jesus. And then number four, Paul said, "I'm not going to faint because I'm not looking at what I can see. I'm looking at what I can't see." Huh? I'm not looking at what I can see. I'm looking at what I can't see. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know what? If we put our eyes on circumstances, we will get discouraged. If we put our eyes on the things that are going on in this earth, I mean, how could you go through the past couple weeks and hear this pandemic we're about to have with swine flu and not be discouraged? I mean, again, like I mentioned this morning, I don't know how Christians, people that don't know Christ, non-Christians, I don't know how they make it through this world. I don't know what they lean on when trouble comes. But how can you not listen to the news? I've quit listening to the news. I don't take a newspaper. I don't want to be discouraged. I mean, I know the things that are going to go on in this world. If I mess myself in that, that's why I spend so much time in this book. I'd rather be in this book and be encouraged than be in the newspaper and be discouraged. I'd rather be listening to God than all those guys that are, and I don't even know their names anymore, that deliver the news. But Paul said, I'm not going to put my eyes on things that only are going to last for a minute. I'm going to put my eyes on the eternal purposes of God. David said in Psalm 27, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Paul wrote in Romans 8:18, for I reckon, he was a good hillbilly, right, Brother Leonard? For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us. Suffering of this world is only going to last for a little bit, and they ain't going to mount to hill beans compared to the eternal glory that we're going to see when we get to heaven. So, I'm not going to look at the circumstances. I'm going to look at the promises. I'm not going to look at the journey. I'm going to look at the destination. I'm not going to look at the trials. I'm going to look at the victory. And that's what Paul did. He said, don't get discouraged. We're going to reap. We will reap if we faint not. And we don't have to faint if we realize the great mercy that God showed us and the fact that he called us to a ministry. If we realize it's not us, it's God working through us. If we realize when problems come, it's not because he quit loving us, because he loves us more and wants us to make us more like his son. And we're not going to faint if we don't look at the circumstances and keep our eye on the stuff that's not seen, the eternal glory of God. I hope when we get to heaven, every single one of us can say like Paul, I finished my course. I finished. I kept the faith. I fought a good fight. I didn't faint. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the encouragement that comes from this book. And I pray tonight that we could model our lives after the Apostle Paul. I pray our objective, our goal, would be when we get to heaven to hear you say, like I'm sure you said to Paul, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so I pray tonight that we'd learn what he did and we'd practice what he did and that we would not faint. We would not quit. I know there's going to be times, can't help it, there's going to be times we get discouraged. There's going to be times that we get tired and we get weary in the work that you've called us to do. But Father, help us to realize that it's not us, it's you. We're just an earthen vessel. We're just a channel through which you work. And if we wait on you, you'll give us what we need each day to do what you called us to do. Father, I pray if there's somebody here tonight that's never taken part in that great mercy that you showed to us when you saved us, I pray tonight they'd see that they're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. But that when Christ went to the cross, as we pictured in the Lord's Supper tonight, His body was broken and his blood was shed, not for any sin that he committed, but for our sins. And if we come and ask him tonight, he'd save us. And so I pray if there's just one person here that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, that in the next few moments, the Holy Spirit would woo them to Christ and they would come. And we could take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Speak to Christians that are here. Just encourage us tonight, Father. And we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.